Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday, the 2nd of November. It's a new month. It's a new month, and
this
here we are.
Shiny new month.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. Hopefully you all had a lovely Halloween weekend.
Yes, we had lots
of
little kids.
Candy, 500 pieces.
Wow.
Get on your mind.
Oh, yeah. We gave out a lot of candy, 500 pieces.
500 pieces?
Yeah. That was a lot of people, a lot of kids.
Well, I want to go to the Shartok house.
We've lived in our house for 15 years. We used to buy candy. No one ever came. We don't buy candy anymore.
Are you out in the woods? Is that the problem?
Well, we live in a very suburban but rural type area people don't do that.
We had kids come, including big kids, and I was sort of afraid to open the door. These huge hulking monsters outside my door, but I did. It was good. It was good.
You can shoo them away with a Reese cup.
Right.
They're easily swayed.
Right. Have a peanut butter cup. Go away.
What else is going on? Oh, you know, I was here's an interesting thing. So I'm looking at the at my email. They have this the computer, and you can look at different things on there. And I was reading going over the races that are coming up for tomorrow, because tomorrow's election day.
Yes, it is.
So we'll be having election coverage here in WAMC tomorrow night, beginning at 9 o'clock.
Starring Ian Pickus and a cast of thousands.
And all the crew will be out. And so then I came across this thing and I thought, well, this is interesting. Here's a great question for, the media project or something. And there's a guy running for mayor in North Adams with the name of John Barrett. And John Barrett has a testimonial page. And whose name is on the testimonial page? But Alan Shartok. And I thought, why is Alan endorsing a candidate?
And the truth is, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah. I don't endorse candidates, before elections. I told you where I was going to vote in one case with Bernie, but only because
But not an endorsement.
No, it wasn't an endorsement. Yeah, well. The station doesn't endorse anybody. I don't. Frankly, I'm a little ticked off.
Was it a quote from 10 years ago?
That's what it seems like. Yeah, he's like one of the best politicians I've ever seen or something like that.
Right. But I've known him for a long time. I like him. No two ways about it. I don't know what I said 10 years ago, but I can tell you right now, not this time. And nobody called me and said to me, is it all right if we use this? Because believe me, it wasn't.
So now what do you do, Sue?
You don't do anything. No. You just come on the radio at 9 o'clock in the morning and say,
"Don't
hey,
vote for him."
I don't like that.
That we don't like. Yeah. So we're gonna and see. And then the question is, well, are the other people on the list? Is that how they got on there too?
Oh yeah,
including the governor and
see,
Joe
I always
Thompson,
we
people.
Always ask. We
well,
always
I think you
ask.
Have to ask.
Absolutely. I just did a piece, a targeted piece to a constituency for a candidate, and we asked. And I have everybody in writing and, even wrote some of the quotes, but that's besides the point.
Not good.
Okay, so there one more thing, and then I swear to God we'll get to the actual show. There's going to be, our dear friend Natalie Merchant.
Yes,
the wonderful Natalie Merchant. There is a film about her that is going to be being shown at the Spectrum Theater in Albany tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, following the show, Natalie, who's out promoting— we'll be doing a Skype Q&A with the audience following the show. And she sent us a note over the weekend and said, would you mind mentioning it? And we said, of course not. So it's a really fascinating look into her creative process. It's a documentary. It's Paradise Is There, a memoir by Natalie Merchant. And it will be shown tonight. And then following the 7 o'clock showing at Spectrum, Natalie Merchant will be doing a Q&A on Skype.
Well,
cool.
Sounds like a cool event. So
we love her.
We send you to spectrum8.com. Spectrum8.com. All right. Now we can get on to the actual meat of the program. Let me introduce our panel. Alan Shartok is here.
Hello.
The only people he endorses are
You.
Rosemary Armeo and yes. Libby Post,
hey.
Who both make up the panel this morning. Libby, of course, is a wonderful political consultant. Rosemary is an investigative reporter and University of Albany journalism professor. All right. Now let's get on with what's going on. Hey, did you see Paul Ryan on the Sunday shows yesterday?
No. Still scares me. Yes.
The question is talking about immigration.
He
was not going to work with the president on the immigration.
We can't trust him. He wanted to go his own way, so now he just has to wait. We won't take it up until 2017. Shame. Shame.
I love this stuff where they find the flimsiest of excuses to say, let's not do the government because you can't trust him, as if they're in love before, this thing happened. Look,
pathetic.
Cuomo is doing the same thing with the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, and saying, well, after being beaten up by de Blasio again and again and again and again, de Blasio went, why are you picking on me? He says, he was so despicable, I can never work with him again, says Cuomo. I mean, this is politics 101, and it isn't nice.
This is GOP 2008, 2012. It's just a repeat performance of everything that they've been saying since Obama first got elected, and it casts a pall over this new speaker and this Congress about whether or not they're going to be able to get anything done. It's the same old, same old. We're not going to work with him.
Well, it scares me because this guy is a really good politician,
mm-hmm.
and he has some of these attitudes. So it isn't like John Boehner was kind of hapless. He kind of flailed along. Ryan is talking now about having an actual philosophy and point of view for the GOP, and I think they will try to get some things done. I don't think they will be good things. This is more than just thwarting the president. It's about pushing through their scary agenda.
Yeah, it is a scary agenda.
Cut back
we'll
on
see.
Entitlements, mm-hmm. which is a bad word. We gotta find another word for entitlements. That's buying into their propaganda.
Support from people who
our
need
network.
It.
Yeah, our life support.
Is now for the big question. I guess this doesn't come as did anybody think he was going to come in and say, "Oh, let's work together on immigration"?
Yeah, why not? Why couldn't he?
Well, that's a different question. He certainly could. My question is, do we expect him to?
Yeah, no. But Joe's point is right. It was
okay.
Dead.
Now you're
going to
do the real Joe's versus point. Ideological.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep hoping for someone to act like a real leader in this country, and Ryan is not going to be the one.
Except for the 2016 presidential election is right around the corner, and the people are disgusted with the gridlock in Washington and the inability to get anything done. And he's just adding to it.
He's
and
out there saying we're going to have some more.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that if he really wanted to get a Republican elected, he would change that? That mindset, that meme really of we're not going to work with him because we're not going to work with him no matter what he says.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is predictable. He has that fracturous caucus to keep together, conference to keep together, and it's going to be very difficult. And just like everything else we've been talking about, one day somebody will have a primary opponent and they'll wake up and they'll say, one of those guys will have a primary opponent, say, I don't like what Ryan is doing, and then we're off to the races.
Right.
So he's really walking on pins and needles.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any easier job that John Boehner did.
Right.
And I don't think that all the political skill in the world is not going to make these ultra-right-wing guys come into their tent. They think that they're right and there is no compromise and there is no discussion.
Well, see, this is very interesting that you say that, because in this case, I love it. In this case, it wasn't going to happen. There was not going to be an immigration program. So he needs to keep those guys happy. Mm-hmm. So he stands up and he says, because I can't trust them, there'll be no immigration program. The immigration program that there wasn't going to be anyway.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have many other issues to discuss. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting NPR's Selected Shorts, Uncharted Territories, with Sam Underwood, Patricia Kalember, and Boyd Gaines, November 13th at 8 p.m., troymusichall.org. Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York. Doctors Susan Boja and Cara Bador providing audiological and hearing healthcare services in a patient-focused environment. HearingBest.com. Haydenville Woodworking and Design, a group of artisans designing and building renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture for over 30 years. HaydenvilleWD.com for virtual portfolio. And from Jenkinstown Motors, New Paltz, a repair shop for domestic and foreign autos and specializing in Japanese cars for over 30 years. JenkinstownMotors.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And we have a letter and then we'll have a topic.
You're exactly right. A topical something. Okay. So,
whoops. A letter about something.
Okay. Believe me, Alan says, this is about the Barrett endorsement we're talking about. Believe me, Alan, it's happening all over. Al Bashevkin, former director of the North Berkshire Community Coalition, wrote a letter to iBerkshires in support of Dick Achenbright. He's the mayor. But Barrett included an endorsement, in quotes, by Al in one of his mailers. Happened to me years ago. I got listed in a newspaper ad of Barrett supporters. I was never asked if I wanted to be on that list. And that's from Paul of North Adams.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I will note, just for a I'll ask Libby, because it's under the testimonial page. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you think most people would assume that a testimonial is an endorsement?
Or contemporary, not 5 years ago. Or
yeah,
10 years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when we do the library campaigns, you know, we get sign off from people. When we use their names, they've signed a petition giving us permission to do that. I mean, you know, this is about ethics and campaigning and the ability for some people to just skirt because, well, it was on there 4 years ago, so I can do it again. Or sure. Alan said something nice about me or Joe said something nice about me without any, you know, consideration
context.
Yeah. Of who you are and what the impact it could be on you, right,
sure.
As the head of this station.
Well, yeah, I got this one letter from a guy who said he's not going to give any money because I endorsed the guy.
Yeah, right. So. And that, you know, it's just not good politics.
Let's move on to other topics and other things happening in the news. I do want to talk to you about the plane crash, the Russian plane crash that broke up over in midair over Sinai. This, of course, is a mystery.
It won't stay a mystery, though, like the Malaysian flights. They found the black boxes. We're going to know what happened to this. And there's a limited number of ways that planes break up in midair. One is that there was mechanical problems, and there seems to have been problems with that plane before. Could be that. The other is that it was blown up. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, yes, and they thought...
Or weather.
An article I read this morning said there was an outside impact. There might have been an outside
impact.
That's
what the airline is saying.
Yeah, to the plane.
And
yeah,
an ISIS and then has, they claimed, said, has claimed responsibility.
But who did?
An ISIS-related
right.
group has
oh,
claimed
really?
Responsibility
oh, yeah.
for taking it down. But the experts say, yeah, with what? You know, they don't have these missiles. That we know of. So
well...
It is a mystery, and it's horrible. 224 yeah. people, 25 kids, terrible. Yeah. But we are going to know what happened to this.
But that Malaysia plane, not the one that went down in the Indian Ocean,
right,
the other one that was shot down by terrorists, you know, with
Russian
some
separatists, with
yeah,
Russian
right,
made missiles.
Where the Russian made missiles. So you never know what's. I mean, you know, we don't know what's really happening, who has what. In ISIS, whether or not they've captured some of our old stuff,
sure.
or the Russians are now engaged, so maybe they've captured some of their stuff. We just don't know. And you know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again: they have absolutely no regard for human life. And they just want to make their point, and that's it.
Also, isn't this, you know, as we go through, well, here's the way. The senior officials at Metrojet, the charter airline company whose Airbus passenger plane crashed in Egypt over the weekend, killing all 224 people on board, ruled out any technical failure or human error on the part of the airline in the catastrophe. We absolutely exclude the technical failure of the plane, and we absolutely exclude pilot error or a human
So factor. This is the airline itself saying we didn't do it. It's not our fault. Perhaps anticipating some lawsuits?
External, we believe that it was an external, Mr. Smero said the crash could have been caused by, quote, an external impact on the plane.
Well,
yeah. That's what I was
That would be.
I mean, remember
about.
The flight out of Long Island that blew up, yeah. And everyone was convinced it was a missile. It turned out to be mechanical. So really, it's silly to speculate. It's not silly to speculate, but it is just speculation.
Well, but we'll know sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. Although a lot of pilots are now talking about these lasers that are coming from the ground to their mm-hmm. – if you could do that, I'm not saying they're equivalent, but if you can do that, you know, and you're so right, Libby, God knows how many old things of this type are lying around that have been captured from the American forces or others mm-hmm. in previous engagements.
And I have to say, the guy from Metro Air,
Jet,
Metro
Jet.
Jet, it sounds very Putin-esque what he just said.
We absolutely
it out. We know it's not us.
It was not us.
Right.
This we know.
This
it wasn't
not
our fault.
Right.
That sounds like my kids when
right.
The broken lamp is there. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. The cat did it. The dog ate my homework.
I don't know who did
well,
it, but it wasn't me.
Obviously a tragedy. My question is, what is the, if it was, is it just to, why this plane? I guess is the question.
Oh,
right?
Well. I can think of
a
hundred.
I think I can pinpoint that right away.
Sure.
Russia is now involved in Syria.
Sure.
And they're sending a message.
Yeah.
If ISIS really did
sure.
this, they're sending a message.
Okay, I meant that particular plane, meaning the passengers on board. But okay.
It doesn't matter
which one.
Right. Russia's involvement now and ISIS is sending a message. Don't.
And ISIS has done some terrible things in the past that we know about, cutting mm-hmm. people's heads off mm-hmm. and things. I think that's sort of indiscriminate. They don't have to pinpoint it.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue on. We have many other topics to discuss, including we'll talk about the Sheldon Silver trial. We'll talk about the Dean Skelos trial. We'll talk about the Mets and
the
Kansas City Royals winning the World Series. We'll talk about all of that.
It's
always next year.
Hey, they played. They were played better.
Or maybe we'll talk about it now.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We'll be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning, November 2nd, 2015. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments at roundtable@wamc.org. We have a few letters, and we'll get to some more topics.
Robert says, if ISIS doesn't have a missile, couldn't they have smuggled a bomb onto the plane? And that's from Robert. Of course, we know nothing. So, speculation is the
impact was supposedly from the outside.
That's what,
we don't know. Yeah,
by whose word there? So,
okay. That's true.
Robert says a serious problem with Egyptian and Russian governments talking the knee jerk position that the crash was not caused by a missile is that it hampers the airlines from making informed decisions about rerouting their planes to avoid danger zones. That's a formula for more disasters to come. And by the way, they have rerouted everything.
Yeah, there's nobody flying in that
except
area
United.
Now.
Said they weren't going to. That's what was in the article today.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Stay off United.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And Wes says, I would not be too concerned about Paul Ryan being able to push his agenda. It still takes 60 votes to pass a bill in the Senate and a 2/3 majority in both houses to override a presidential veto. Okay, so I know that you said something about his program, Rosemary Ryan's, but I think in this case, you know, it was a question of not in the case we were talking about before. What he was really – what Ryan was saying is I'm not going to cooperate with the president on immigration. So that doesn't have anything to do with 60 votes or an override.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And Ken says, welcome to the new house, same old house. Has to rule in force? Check. No immigration reform? Check. Tax cuts for the rich? Checks. More war? Question mark. Okay. And Tom says, what about them Mets? And and then a different Tom says, I'm not entitled to Social Security or Medicare. I paid for them. So, Paul Ryan, keep your hands off of them.
Good
That's
letter.
That.
Good
All
letter.
Right. We're good?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go on to other issues, and we'll talk about the issues regarding the cases coming to cases coming to a court near you.
Right.
And this is both Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos. Both these trials are expected to come on in. And so the question is, what do we make of this? The interesting article in the New York Times talked about, in two corruption cases, the culture of Albany is actually what will be going on trial. In separate federal courthouses in Lower Manhattan this month, two of the most powerful men in New York are about to go on trial, an extraordinary spectacle centering on allegations of corruption, bribery, and nepotism in the state's highest chambers of political office. But even as the men, Assemblyman Sheldon Silver, the former Speaker, and State Senator Dean Skelos, the former Majority Leader, fight the charges and try to restore their reputation, something else will also be on trial, the culture of Albany, the state capital.
Right. Well,
do you have anything to say about this?
I just wrote a column about this, so I've been thinking about it a lot. Look, both of these men, the former majority leader in the Senate and the speaker in the Assembly, are on trial for using political influence to pay back. And you know, I'm a huge fan of the U.S. attorney, Pete Berard, because I sense that he really is trying to clean the mess up. So, can the government prove it was business as usual, that this is bad and that it's criminal? Or will somebody on that jury say, no, that's just the way they do it over there? Now, you have to prove it. The reason that this doctor from Columbia and the mesothelioma is so important is that theoretically there was a specific quid pro quo. If you give us a grant for our Columbia clinic, then you should send us your people who are coming in there, your patients, and we will give them legal representation as they sue everybody.
It's more like, if I give you this grant.
Yeah.
Not
well,
if
that's the question. The question is, was it spoken? The question is, how specific was it? The question is it just the way that people have been doing things forever? That's going to be the defense on the part of the speaker, and maybe of the majority leader, who I think is in more trouble. But what do I know in the Senate? Because he basically was arguing for something personal for his son, a job for his son. So I don't think this is a slam dunk by any means.
Well, I just think, Bruno, I don't want to end up paying for another great big giant corruption trial that goes nowhere. So I hope he really has them this time.
Well, you have to assume that when you say, I hope he really has them.
Evidence.
That there's, well, I get that part. But it also assumes that the guy's done something wrong.
I think that these guys are really smart on what the law say, and they know how to go and have done it for years, going right up to the line. And if he's gotten them, it's only because they've stepped a tiny little bit over, and there'll be lots of explanations for it. So they better have good evidence and good lawyers.
It also may be that the line has been moved. And I think that that's a very important point.
You keep saying that about the new prosecutor. I'm not sure what it means, though. How does
well,
the prosecutor move a line?
Well, it means that we've always known. Look. If it was a state charge, this was never going to happen. It's
Correct.
A federal charge.
Right. And so is Bruno.
Yeah, right. And it's going to be very, very, very difficult to prove. But when I say he moved the line, I mean what has always been acceptable in Albany is no longer acceptable. That's what he's saying. And it all comes out of his anger, Preparars, when Cuomo dropped the Moreland Act Commission. Mm-hmm. When they definitely had some very specific cases they had to investigate. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the governor walks out and says, okay, I'm getting rid of it. Goodbye. After he had said, when he set it up, that wherever they go, it'll be all right. Let them find. And what if you mm-hmm. come after you? Well, they can do whatever they want. And that's what he said. So this is very telling for the way in which state government operates here in New York.
Well, I do think it's important that the high and mighty can be prosecuted. I work in countries where that step we never even get to. But you also have to hold some of them to account, or you're going to have people really getting cynical and then saying, yeah.
Really?
Well, that's the way it is.
You mean more cynical than they already are?
Yeah, I think they're very cynical now. Don't you think a conviction would change that? They're like, wow, they really
– Yes, I do think a conviction of either one or both of them would change things. And I think what we're going to see is people are going to get scared. There's going to make noises about, oh, we need to do ethics reform, blah, 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 blah. They'll put on a pretty show. And then at the end of session next year, they'll pass a bill that's like negligible, which is what they always do because they protect their incumbency. And, you know, that's the power of incumbency. They protect that. And we never see any real change. Somebody said to me, the feds don't go ahead unless they really've got the goods. And my attitude is, well, they thought they had the goods on Bruno. So,
okay, I have one other point here. Marco Rubio is getting a lot of criticism for missing work in the Senate while he's out campaigning. These guys have missed a whole bunch of stuff because they're defending themselves. I think they should get out of their legislative seats. They are not representing their constituents.
Well, no, Shelley was at... Shelley was in session, and I think Skelos was at session as well until June. And now they're out of session, so, you know, yes.
So you can easily defend yourself against federal charges and represent them.
Well, you know, you go to these meetings, you sit there, and you do, I mean, because you have your lawyers who are putting together your case, you know, but I do know that both of them did end up going and sitting there. Even though they didn't have their prime location seats
well,
anymore.
But, and Shelley, I believe I read a piece that he had sponsored a piece of legislation saying, well, you know, I'm still here and
right.
I'm still working on it. This is going to be, I think that Barrara, despite what we've been talking about, Barrara has said, okay, let's do this. Let's call attention. Let the light come in. And let the devil take the hindmost. Yes or no, we'll see. But what we'll do is we will expose this process.
Right. And the sheer ability to expose the process and to show the warts, you know, will have a good effect. Whether or not they'll actually change the way they do things still remains to be seen. But at least the people will see really what's going on.
And on top of that, I am so sick and tired when I write these columns and articles and I say this stuff on the radio about, basically the moral corruption in Albany from hearing, you're doing a disservice to all the good ones who go every single day, they're saying to me. And I'm saying, hey, if the good ones got together and said, we're going to pass a legislative ethics bill in this house no matter what anybody says, and we're going to make it stick, then the good ones get a lot of credit. But the good ones do not get credit for hiding under their desks.
It took the good ones a while to say no to the speaker, to Shelley's maintaining his position as a speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to maintain it, and then the good ones started to say no, and that cracked, and he ended up not being speaker anymore. And now they have Hastie, who has his own problems.
He has his own problems, but it's not that. It's also that they just didn't create the atmosphere and the law that would make this place right.
Let's take a break. I do, before we do, just 1 second, I do want to mention also there's the article in the New York Times this morning about the potential jurors in the trial are facing questions about bias. Don't all jurors face the same questions?
Yes.
Okay. So is that a story? No? Yes?
I don't think so.
Okay. Last week, more than 100 potential jurors filled out a 15-page questionnaire that was designed to highlight potential bias or conflicts that might disqualify a person from serving in the case. Based on those answers, the parties agreed to exclude some of the potential jurors, while the cases of 13 others led to a discussion in court on Friday.
I think they just have to ask the question, do you know who they are?
Yeah,
because the majority of people don't.
I think it's more interesting the Supreme Court is looking at jury selection that excludes people simply because they're black.
Happens all the time.
At a much higher rate than peremptory strikes are used against whites. So Supreme Court's looking at that. Very interesting.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. We will continue roundtable at WAMC.org if you'd like to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Dine-in, takeout, delivery, 518-432-0358. Pave tile, wood, and stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone. Showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. Amtrak fall foliage trips aboard the Adirondack's Great Dome car with windows on all sides and overhead. From Albany to Montreal with stops throughout New York's North Country, Amtrak.com for reservations. And from Manix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996, ManixMarketing.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Joe Donahue. What do you need? And you and your letters and roundtable at WAMC.org. Fred Thompson passed away yesterday.
Yeah,
Senator
I felt that.
Fred Thompson. Two-term senator, of course. Better known as an actor, I would assume, than as a senator, or what do you think?
I think so.
But who knows? Was a senator from Tennessee, and most often when he was in the movies, he played a president or a politician.
Or district attorney in Law and Order.
Yes, in Law and Order.
TV, yeah.
And Hunt for Red October and The Line of Fire.
Why do we feel bad?
I don't feel bad. I'm not feeling it.
Really?
My Bosnian friends always go like, you know, when the guy on the animal show, the snake charmer guy died. Yeah. He got the stingray in his heart. And we were all like, oh, my God, look at this. And the Bosnians go, do you know him? And we said, no. And they go, well, why do you care? And I laughed. Now I'm sort of feeling it. I mean, I know who he is, but why does this matter to us?
Well, I think Fred Thompson was an interesting guy in that, first of all, I loved him on Law and Order.
Yeah, I did too.
Law and Order is my number one show forever, and that's the way it is. But also, he was not of the new ultra uber right variety. He was more, I think, if you look at his record, in the sort of moderate Republican, even Eisenhower tradition. And so, therefore, I think we need more people like that to give us, more choices. So I liked him. I liked him as a human being.
Do you think the Liberal Caucus killed him?
No, he had a bad disease.
Lymphoma.
Yeah, lymphoma. I read. Yeah.
But also, I mean, he ran for president in 2008.
Not for long and not very well.
Yeah, because he wasn't.
Well, no.
Didn't have the fire.
No, I'm just trying to get at what it was about him that.
I think
that,
he was.
There's this outpouring.
I think there is interest in people who have both of those careers. And not like Reagan, where you do one and then you do another, or like Fred Grandy,
back and forth.
But he was actively in it, going back and forth and saying, okay, I'm going to go do a movie role, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll do a movie role, I'll come back.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I would remind you all that Tom Lehrer wrote a song about Murphy in California, lest we have a senator who can sing and dance.
Well, I was interested to find out in the obit that he was the guy in the Watergate hearing, the lawyer who said, are there tapes? and the rest is history, as they say. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, no,
well,
and that really helped his reputation as an independent minded guy.
Well, I was trying to figure out why this outpouring. It was all over Facebook and social media too. And,
yeah. Well, I think because people were impressed that they knew a senator.
Uh-huh.
They don't know him, though. They know him from TV.
Sure, they know him from In the Line of Fire and
he had ads.
He was selling reverse mortgages, which is sort of a shell game as far
yes,
as I'm concerned.
I know.
All right.
okay, let's talk about the Mets.
Do you have some letters?
Oh, there's some more sure.
Yeah, go with some letters and then we'll talk
Albany
about
Albany on trial. It will be hard to find 12 jurors who are shocked to discover there is corruption in Albany. Maybe a bunch of second graders, and that's from Peter. Okay. And then Cynthia says, good morning, panel. Paul Ryan on Meet the Press yesterday stated that, quote, any one of the Republican candidates on the debate stage would make a better president than Hillary, or words to that effect. And he said it with a straight face. He's scary.
Okay.
Well, he's Eddie from the Munsters. I mean.
And Michael says, ISIS. ISIS has all modern American weapons acquired when they occupied parts of Iraq, including surface-to-air missiles. Some natives think it's the Americans rolling into town, and that's from Michael. And that is what I got.
Okay. Let's go to more topics, and we can talk – well, we can certainly talk about the Mets, but before we do that – what?
I just feel bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
I kept waking up, checking the score, going back to sleep, but I knew it was inevitable.
It first time since 1985 that the Kansas City Royals have won a World Series. They came from behind in the game last night to beat the Mets in extra innings 7-2.
Oh, boy.
Earning their second title and first in 30 years. And so...
Why am I so depressed? It's just a game.
They got outplayed. It's just that simple.
Yeah, they
did. And, you know... Matt Harvey, right, was the pitcher last night. You know, his desire to stay in that ninth inning, they should never have let him go in.
Oh, that's the kind of second-guessing.
No. I mean, I said it right.
But that doesn't mean that
if he had
been taken out, that
this
they wouldn't
true.
Have had the same
true.
Results.
Well, you never know because they were ahead 2-0. I mean, this is classic. They blow a lead in the ninth inning. They did it in the first or second game. At the first game. You know, it's like, I'm heartbroken. I'm a Mets fan. I grew up on Long Island. That's who we, you know, that was the deal. You know, but they are the National League champions. They are a team to be
It was an
to
honor
be
just
with.
To be invited
yes,
to the game.
Right. They are a team to be reckoned with, and they'll be back. It's just that simple. They'll be back.
Anybody else on anything regarding the Mets?
No. But there is a letter saying Rosemary's wrong. Rosemary suggests an elected official should resign because they're charged with a crime but not yet convicted. That would give prosecutors incredible power to remove a popularly elected official by just making an arrest before any wrongdoing is proven. Innocent until proven guilty must be protected even for elected officials.
We've had this argument before. That would be true if the prosecutor had the power or there was a law that said you had to go. I'm saying for the sake of good governance as a decent human being, they should step aside.
Huh. Well, and our friend Polly was there. There has been a singly glaring omission of the discussions of the revocation of China's one-child policy, the resulting multitude of missing girls.
It is.
Female fetuses that were selectively aborted, female babies who were abandoned, so all the parents could exercise their prejudice against girls and poor boys. There's been much talk about the economics, but very little about the terrible injustice of these gender prejudices. Thank you, Polly.
I actually heard you this morning, Alan, talk about how it's a dictatorship in China and this is really bad. I actually think we could take a lesson from China. They're taking a close look at population and trying to take steps to prevent problems. We could do the same.
Dear Rosemary, no, I mean, there was a very popular movement in the United States.
ZPG,
zero population growth.
Right.
And the world is getting heavier and heavier and heavier in terms of all the bodies.
Too many people.
Right.
That are on it. But if you do it, you don't do it with a dictatorship saying, we, the dictators, have decided this is how many children you can have.
Well, certainly not in the United States, but it's also China had a much worse problem. And the dictatorship was pretty effective at it, more effective than zero population growth here. I mean, I keep using the example of Rwanda, which has a horrible dictatorship. They have no plastic bags littering any place because the dictatorship decided that was bad. So there's certainly negatives in it. But overall, to say we need fewer people, not a bad thing.
Well, you certainly make a lot of very good points there. No, you do. I mean, but, and I loved what Polly said because I hadn't even thought about the girl thing. I knew about it, but I hadn't referenced it, and she was
right.
Well,
there's wonderful socio-political effects of that too. If you're a Chinese boy, your parents want you to marry a Chinese girl, and a whole lot of those girls live outside of China now. So in a way, that's a policy that's promoting bigger ties with and connections around the world.
Mm. And finally, we'll end with Jeb Bush, who was on Meet the Press. On
poor Jeb is dead.
Said that he, for some reason, said that he'd kill for his father yesterday.
This whole family loyalty thing.
He did say that.
Which is weird. He said that he insisted he is a grinder who knows he must fare better in the next presidential debate than he did in the one last week. When I see that I'm not doing something well, then I reset and I get better.
Little late.
How many times
can you reset
in 6 months?
Well, let me just say, I'm the only one in the room, I think, who probably feels sorry for the guy. I feel sorry for the guy. I don't know why, but he was raised with expectations
that he would be raised with that silver spoon in his mouth.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. Just like Ann Richards said about George.
Okay, I take it back. I suppose you're right.
Now he's got to go back to that lifestyle that he had of poverty and exclusion.
I think he's going to be the nominee.
He could be.
Because who else are they going to get?
Who else are they going to get who could beat Hillary?
Right.
See, it's all this right-wing stuff right now. But the way that he's been behaving doesn't show, petulant, but also namby-pamby, doesn't show a guy who could get out there and really take on Hillary.
I don't think he really has the fire in his belly to do this.
I just want to give – this is where we'll end this morning, but he dismissed a question about whether he's unhappy because a Bush family member, quote, can't believe they're losing. I don't even think about that. I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much, he said. Thankfully, I haven't had the need to do that.
Kill him?
That's an odd response, isn't it?
He's so dorky, yeah.
No, it sounds almost depressed.
I agree. It sounds weird. Depressed? It seems like an odd way to respond to that.
Well, he wants to show a human side of himself.
Yeah. So how about George W.? Would you kill for your older brother?
No.
Younger brother.
No.
What is he?
He's old. I don't know.
I think he's
younger. That's funny. I don't know who's older.
I think he's younger because Jeb was the one that they wanted.
Right.
Okay. We're out of time, but thank you very much all for being here. We will continue the fun and frivolity tomorrow, and the roundtable will continue after the short break.